What's up, Conference USA fans? Welcome into another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm your host, Sarah Rudolph, and we have another CUSA football preview on deck for you today. This time, we are talking about the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs going into another season with Sonny Cumbie, and hopefully it's going to be a good one. And we have some special guests joining us again today. Josh Yonas is back on set with me. Thank you, Josh, for joining me. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, glad to be here. Another week of previews, another week closer to our first football game. We're 19 days away.
19 days.
Our first football game between WKU and Sam Houston in week zero. Another 20-ish days from everybody else kicking off. So it's coming.
Yeah. In preparation for this interview, I looked up the Louisiana Tech schedule and they have a countdown. Thank you, Sidearm, on their website. And it's like 26 days and a couple of hours until their first game. So it's getting close. We're getting excited.
Anxious hearing that. Yeah.
Anxious in a good way?
In a good way.
Yeah. Well, I'm here to talk about the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs. We want to welcome Matt Bellinson, sports editor for the Ruston Leader. Matt, thank you so much for joining us to talk a little Bulldog football.
Yeah, absolutely. Excited for the season to get going here.
Us too. We're ready.
Yes, very ready. All right. So, Matt, let's talk a little bit about reflecting on last year, because it was a little up and down, you know, a couple big wins, a couple losses that got away from the team. Ultimately, you guys find your way into a bowl game. You know, I'm sure that's a little bit of something to build on. You know, maybe just kind of give me what you thought your takeaways were from last season and what your kind of overall outlook is for the Dogs in 2025.
Yeah, I think like you said, the season got off to kind of a bumpy start. Obviously, you start 1-3. You obviously didn't really go into your bye week with a lot of confidence. And obviously, we saw Sonny Cumbie hand off the offensive play calling duties to, you know, co-offensive coordinator at the time, Nathan Young. You kind of saw them come out of the bye week and play really well against Middle Tennessee, pick up a huge win. And you kind of felt like the momentum was maybe starting to shift in their favor. And then, like you mentioned, they obviously dropped some losses, you know, that definitely did not help their case as far as at the time making a bowl game and competing for the Conference USA title. And I think it was just a disjointed season. Obviously, there was a lot of quarterback injury, Evan Bullock, Blake Baker. There was just a lot of guys coming in and out. Offensive line was shuffled around. It was just a lot of change. And I feel like that's kind of been the theme of the past couple of seasons for Louisiana Tech, but in particular, this past season, it felt like every single week we weren't really sure who was going to be taking snaps under center. We weren't really sure what the offensive line combination was going to be. I think at times there were some encouraging things. Like you said, in the back half of the season, obviously picked up a big win on the road at Western Kentucky. You know, that defense that was so lauded last year, it was able to shut down that offense to 7 points. And then, you know, obviously you finished the year with kind of a surprise, you know, bowl berth. And obviously, you know, here in Shreveport, at the Independence Bowl, we're able to play Army, and it gets some experience for some younger guys. Obviously, they lost some guys to the transfer portal at that time, but I think some younger guys got some experience. You got another chance to see Evan Bullock behind center, and as I'm sure we'll talk about, you obviously new offensive coordinator Tony Franklin kind of got his first opportunity, you know, with this group to call plays and just kind of be with them in the practice setting. So I think, like you mentioned, there were definitely some opportunities left on the table. You know, 5 1-score losses last year. Obviously, the one that, you know, Tech fans still remember is the Jacksonville State, you know, game. Obviously, the Hail Mary to end it, and then you lose in overtime. So I think losses like that are definitely the ones where if you're a Tech fan, you can spin it as an optimist and say, hey, man, if we just finish some plays here and there, you know, we're close to making a bowl game. On the flip side, you know, obviously you would have liked to take care of business earlier in the season to kind of avoid those kind of heartbreak, you know, losses. So I think overall, I think it was a disjointed season, but like you mentioned, I think at the back half, I think there were some encouraging signs to go into 2025.
Yeah, overall finished the season 5-8, but like you said, 3 overtime losses, 2 other losses on top of that by less than a score. So you look at those 5 and those could have gone really anyway. And you mentioned that Jacksonville State game. As conference staff, like, you know, when it comes to conference play, we always win and we always lose. It doesn't matter. Like when we're playing a conference game, we have a winner and we have a loser. But that game, like, had us all like running around our living rooms, freaking out. Like, that was just the craziest ending to a game ever. When you were talking about it, all of the memories just came flooding back. But you did mention something that we do want to talk about. Offensive coordinator Tony Franklin returning to the program. Tell me a little bit about what he brings, what style of offense we can see out of the Bulldogs this year, and how quarterback Evan Bullock kind of fits into all of that.
Yeah, it's going to be a tempo kind of spread-based offense. And I think, honestly, it fits Evan's style really well. You know, at times last year, you noticed, you know, his completion percentage was really high. I think he only finished the season with 3 interceptions. Obviously, he took a lot of sacks, so I think that was maybe one of the one blemish on his season. But you know, overall, took really good care of the football. I think he did a really good job when the ball got out of his hands quickly, when there was a lot of design around him where he knew where the ball needed to go. And I think that's something that Tony does really well with this offense. You look at his previous stops on the FBS ranks at Middle Tennessee, at Cal. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, obviously experience there in his resume. And I think when you've seen him work with quarterbacks, he gets the most out of them, you know, more often than not, you know, especially on the ground. He feels like he can get a lot out of the run game with Evan in this system. I think you're going to see them use his legs a lot more. You know, he's a pretty good athlete. I wouldn't describe him as kind of a guy you're going to hand him, you know, give him the ball, you know, 10 to 15 times a game, but you know, down to the goal line, or maybe if they need a third down pickup, you know, maybe an option play, something like that. They're definitely going to want to use Evan's athleticism a lot more this year. And I think when the ball is in his hands, they want to get the ball out quick. It's going to be a lot of RPO, a lot of tempo, a lot of screens. And they're certainly going to take their downfield shots here and there. But I think overall, you're going to see a Louisiana Tech offense that's going to want to move quick. It's going to want to take chunks of the field at a time. Again, maybe that's going to look like 5 to 6 yards, you know, at a time. I don't think they're going to try and take 20 to 25 yards, you know, play. But then again, maybe if the playmakers on this offense kind of emerge later on, maybe they'll get a little bit more bold. But I think right now, I think it honestly fits Evan's like player profile pretty well, because I think he's a quarterback that wants to make decisions quickly. He showed last year that his true FBS experience, he can make, you know, smart decisions with the football. I think at times that the decision making and that processing, I think, led him to help hold onto the ball a little bit too long. You know, he took 33 sacks in 10 games last year. You know, that's not sustainable. It's obviously not good for his health, and obviously not good for the sustainability of this offense. So I think bottom line is, if they can allow Evan, you know, to have options, and I think, you know, maybe give him, you know, quick decision making so he doesn't have to just stand back there, I think that's going to play really well for this offense. And again, I think Tony has seen a lot of quarterbacks in his decades, you know, on the job. And so I definitely feel like he's going to be able to get the most out of Evan. You know, that being said, Evan still is relatively new to the college game. Again, last year, those were his first 10 starts at the collegiate level. So it's still a work in progress, I think, for as encouraging as he was last year. I think it's important for Tech fans to realize that I think there's still going to be a little bit of a growth process maybe here for the first couple, you know, weeks of the non-conference slate. But then I think when we're deep into conference play, I think you can expect to see this offense definitely takes a leap forward from where they left off.
Well, I'm ready to go after hearing that.
Yeah, I know, really. I think that was good probably for some Bulldog fans here and myself as well, because I think that you saw what Evan Bullock did do on the field last year, and there was some really good stuff there. Obviously, the sacks, like you talked about, some of that was his fault, some of that was not. And so just looking at how well he performed last year, still knowing that there are still some growing pains there. He's still young in the game, a new offensive coordinator. You know, temper your expectations, fans out there. Don't jump down Evan's throat, you know, first game right out of the gate. So yeah, no, that was great to hear.
Yeah, well, and I think for anyone who's familiar with you kind of talked about some of his other stops, but if you're familiar with Tony Franklin's first stint in Louisiana in Ruston at Louisiana Tech, the numbers that they were putting up, you know, back in 2012 in his final year there, I mean, they were the nation's leader in scoring and passing offense, total offense. I think they finished like 51.5 points a game. I mean, some insane figures. So if he can even capture a little bit of that in a bottle with Evan this year, I think they'll be in a good spot. But yeah, let's talk a little bit more about Evan, because I mean, obviously no one likes to hear about injuries, but it did kind of work in your favor a little bit to find Evan Bullock and give him the opportunity to do what he did last year as a as a redshirt freshman, I guess. But what have you seen in his growth, and I guess in early days of camp, how much more confident does he look now that he kind of knows he's the guy?
Yeah, and I think that's one thing, you know, talking to Sonny Cumbie on day one of fall camp, he feels like Evan just getting the experience that he did last year. Again, like you mentioned, maybe not in the most ideal circumstances, but again, the experience is experience. And I think the only way that you can get better, you know, not even just at the collegiate level in any sport, is to just frankly just get in the fire and just do it. And I think, frankly, you saw that with Evan at times last year. Again, there were some really high highs, and I think there were some lows. And again, I think that's to be expected, again, when you throw a kid into an experience that he frankly probably just was not prepared for. I mean, he came into last season at third on the depth chart. Obviously Jack Turner was this team's quarterback, you know, to start the season, and obviously he got hurt. And then Blake Baker came in, you know, in relief of him. And then obviously Blake got hurt. So Evan, I think, really just mindset wise, I think kind of began last year. Frankly, obviously he was preparing and was doing all he could to be ready. But if you're the third string on a team, I think it's just hard mentally to kind of be focused of like, okay, this is my team. I'm taking ownership of this offense. And I think you saw that progress as the season went on. You were talking to Evan last year. You definitely got the sense that, you know, kind of by the time maybe I would say the New Mexico State game was kind of the first experience where you saw, okay, you know, this kid is really taking ownership of this team. And I think, like you mentioned, he recognizes now that he is the guy. He has the most experience, you know, in this quarterback room at the Division I level. And so, you know, I definitely feel like that confidence, number one, is going to give him a leg up compared to where he started last year. Is, again, you're starting third string, you're getting limited reps in fall camp. Frankly, no one is paying attention to you. I think now, again, you having that ownership and having the eyes and the spotlight on you and seeing the production that he had last year, I think it gives him confidence. And I think it gives the coaching staff confidence to know that they can kind of set him up for success earlier on. I think that being said, he is going to have a little bit of competition in fall camp. You know, Sonny Cumbie made it clear that Trey Kukuk, you know, a JUCO transfer from Saddleback Community College, you know, certainly has experience at the JUCO level, is going to be competing with Evan for reps. Sonny made it very clear that Evan is, you know, if they had a game today, Evan would be their number one quarterback. He would be starting. But I think, like any quarterback at any level, I don't think you can get better if your spot is solidified 100%. I think you always want to have someone pushing you. And I think, again, frankly, for a younger kid, a younger quarterback that, you know, maybe doesn't have the skins on the wall that, you know, maybe you would want as a true veteran, I think they just want to see, you know, can a true competition even get more out of him? And I think between the offensive coordinator change and, I think, you know, quarterback competition behind him, I think it's only going to benefit Evan. I think it's going to give him a confidence and a sense that, okay, this is my job now. They want me to win it. I'm going to go take it. And I think truly with Evan, I think you've seen that. I think the leadership standpoint is there. I think you see guys following him. But at the same time, I think there's still some growing pains, and I think he just needs to work through that. And I think the more reps, again, in fall camp that he gets, I think is going to be better. So I think he's starting from a better place. But again, I think there's still more work to do.
Well, and I love that concept, too. And we've already talked about it on a few of our episodes already. But, you know, when we talked with FIU, they brought in a Holy Cross transfer that has a ton of FCS experience. And it's like, well, okay, you have Kewan Jenkins, but, you know, and then we talked to Missouri State, and even Missouri State, their, you know, radio guy was bragging about this freshman quarterback they brought in that could be the quarterback of the future, and they have Jacob Clark in their backfield. And, you know, you look at what's, you know, Liberty, you know, they brought in a couple guys in the transfer portal. You know, likely we think Ethan Vasco is going to be QB1, but they were very, you know, not cryptic, but they were just like, hey, we're going to give everyone a chance because two of their five quarterbacks didn't participate in spring ball. So, like, I just love the concept that no one is entitled or promised anything. Like, everyone needs someone below them to kind of keep that fire lit and really ignite that competitiveness that you mentioned.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of competitions probably happening at camp right now. I know you've been out there kind of watching it all take place. My biggest question, I think there's probably a lot of fans out there that I would like to be educated on this as well, is who are maybe some key returners that you're watching going into this upcoming season, and maybe some key transfers in as well that maybe the name's not as familiar with the fans down there in Ruston that people should be looking out for going into the 2025 season?
Yeah, I think returning wise, you've heard the name Eli Finley come up a bunch from this coaching staff. And I think you saw last year at times that they wanted to get Eli involved, but then you would kind of finish games and it's like, oh, he's targeted two times or three times and, you know, finishes with one or two catches. It was kind of one of those deals where I think they wanted to get him involved, but I think the disjointedness at quarterback, and I think, frankly, the offensive play calling, I think led to, I think, frankly, just a lack of identity. I don't really think they knew week to week really what the playmaker was on this team. Obviously, True Edwards emerged as the go-to wide receiver, but I think outside of him, you know, you saw at times Jimmy Holiday was kind of this gadget guy, and, you know, how does Eli Finley really fit in this equation when we also have these running backs that are, kind of transferring in and out? So I think Eli is definitely going to be a focal point of this offense. They've made it very clear that he's a big body. He's a physical freak, and I think they want to use him in the red zone. They want to use him on third down. I think he's a safety blanket for Evan. So I think as far as tight ends, I think you could definitely see him, you know, definitely finishing towards the top of Conference USA in tight end receptions and touchdowns. It certainly feels like, at least in fall camp, that that's the mindset of this offense. So he's going to be back for his third year. I think second year as a true starter in this offense. You know, I think another name to keep an eye on is obviously returning running back Omari Wiggins. You know, obviously the returning leading rusher on this team. He had an okay season last year. Again, the running back shuffling in and out. I think this team expected that Marquise Crosby would come back from injury a little bit healthier, and I think a little bit more production. And then obviously obviously that didn't work out. So, you know, Amiri kind of the last, you know, five or six games really emerged as kind of as that downhill, you know, kind of every down guy. And I think you saw some encouraging things, you know, especially against Arkansas, you know, against Western Kentucky, even, you know, against Army at times, he had some good plays. And so I definitely feel like, those are going to be the two offensive weapons, I think, early on as they work out the receiver position and kind of figure out who that playmaker is. I would expect to hear those two names as kind of the guys that, frankly, you know, maybe either get the bulk of the touchdowns or at least, you know, the bulk of the opportunities to score touchdowns. As far as incoming transfers, you know, there's a lot. And I think receiving wise, that's where the biggest question mark is. You know, again, you lose True Edwards to graduation. Obviously, Jay Wilkerson, a returner, is still injured. We have not seen him at fall camp. Sonny Cumbie doesn't really expect him to be available in fall camp. And so, you know, right now it's a lot of new faces, you know, at the receiver position. I think a guy, you know, to keep an eye on as far as an incoming transfer is Sacramento State wide receiver Devin Gandy. You know, this is an explosive playmaker that comes from the FCS level. He understands what it takes. You know, he's been in that program for a number of years. He comes to Louisiana Tech with a lot of experience. I think that's frankly what stands out, you know, compared to a lot of the other transfers at any position on this team, is that, you know, Devin comes with multiple years of proven production. Now, again, it's obviously not at the FBS level, but I think production is production. And I think you've seen that in fall camp that he's been given opportunities. He's run with the first team, you know, offense. He's kind of been that split out, you know, kind of X receiver. And so I definitely feel like he's going to be the one of the main playmakers on this team. So I would expect to see, you know, his name called quite a bit in the early goings. I think another name, you know, to keep an eye on, I think at the receiver position, again, you know, it's still kind of to be determined as far as what the targets are going to look like for this team. But, you know, I definitely would keep an eye on, you know, Jay Simon. You know, he's an incoming, I guess if you want to say a newcomer, but he really didn't play last year. You know, he's a sophomore, a true sophomore. Obviously had a high recruiting profile coming out of the high school. You know, near Shreveport area, he definitely a kid that has been running with the first and second team, has been given opportunities. Again, I think at times last year, you know, I don't really think we saw him, but just because I don't think this offense really could take the risk of throwing a kid out there that just didn't not have a lot of experience. So I was expect to see Jay Simon's name in the mix as well. So, but I definitely would say as far as newcomer at the top line, it definitely starts with Devin Gandy for sure.
Moving over to the defensive side, I know that a big emphasis when we were kind of preparing for the kickoff show was talking about how, you know, you didn't have any returners from that defensive front that played a huge role in the defensive success that you mentioned earlier. You have a couple other key returners that, you know, at the secondary levels with, you know, Cedric Woods, who joined us at Media Day, and then Colby Fields, who's our preseason defensive player of the year. So talk to me about the balance there, you know, with some of the key returners on the back end there, and then maybe some other names to watch that'll be in the trenches.
Yeah, like you mentioned, I think honestly the strength of this defense and maybe the team in general is the defensive backfield for this team. I mean, you're talking about returning production at the safety and cornerback position. That's pretty invaluable, especially when you're talking about a conference that, you know, for the most part has a lot of veteran quarterbacks, has a lot of veteran play callers. And like you mentioned, it obviously starts with Cedric Woods. You know, obviously he's going into his sixth year here at Louisiana Tech as this team, one of this team's starting cornerbacks. Proven to be one of the better lockdown man-to-man quarters in this conference. And he's definitely one that I think is going to lead by example this year. Now, of course, in his production as well, but I definitely feel like Cedric is just going to be a constant force in this defense. And I think, you know, opposite him is still kind of TBD. You know, I think obviously, again, you lose DeMarcus Griffin-Taylor, obviously, to eligibility. And so I definitely feel like this group is still looking to figure out who's going to be that main primary secondary corner outside, you know, opposite of Cedric. But again, I think it helps when you return, you know, three, you know, safeties again, and Michael Richard, Jakari Foster, and Jacob Fields. Obviously, you lost Blake Thompson, one of your starting safeties, to the transfer portal in the spring, so that definitely hurts. But I feel like all three of those guys played a ton last year. They got a lot of experience. Obviously, Jakari played a lot in the back half of the season. Obviously, when Mike, you know, went down with injury for a couple games, and so this defensive backfield definitely has a lot of experience. And obviously, Jacob Fields as well got to play, you know, the back half as well. So I think the defensive backfield is definitely going to be a strength because, again, like you mentioned, the defensive line just has a lot of new faces. You know, Zion Nason is a returner that has been in the program for a couple of years now, but like you mentioned, has not really played a lot. He has not been a full-time starter. It certainly seems like he's going to get that opportunity this year, but again, we just have not seen the production there, so it's kind of a mystery at this point. You know, again, it's going to be a lot of JUCO transfers that are kind of coming into this defensive line. I think an Emmanuel Ogins from Tyler Junior College, you know, is a name to keep an eye on. You know, a former JUCO production against Caleb Sims, you know, a teammate of him, teammate of his. I definitely feel like, you know, this defense is going to lean heavily on the JUCO route because, again, there's just a lot of younger faces that I don't think they're ready to just throw in the fire in this program. So I think they're going to rely on that JUCO talent to kind of carry the water because, you know, again, like you mentioned, you know, Jaden Gray, obviously, David Blade in Miami. I mean, there's a lot of guys that left this defensive line, whether it be to graduation or the transfer portal. So I definitely feel like if you had a concern about this defense, it would just be like who steps in and fills that void. But again, I think the back end is so strong. And again, like you mentioned, Colby Fields at linebacker and Chief Leota at linebacker as well. There's a lot of returners in that back end that I think if there are some deficiencies up front and if they do get gashed up the middle, I do feel like there's some answers that can kind of plug those holes early on.
Yeah. Chief Leota is such a great name, by the way. Anytime I hear him talked about, I'm like, that's a strong name. So I do want to plug this really quick because I forgot to do it at the top of the program. We will actually be airing right after this interview with Matt, my interview with Cedric Woods and Landon Nelson and head coach Sonny Cumbie at Media Day. So stick around for that if you're interested. It was really fun. Cedric Woods is quite the character. Let me tell you, he's a really fun guy to talk to. But I want to look at your upcoming schedule for a second, for the Bulldogs' upcoming schedule. I know just talking to the guys at Media Day that they have one circled on the schedule. They play Sam Houston at home on Halloween. Both teams, by the way, the Sam Houston guys, they were talking about that too. They were like, we're like, this is our game that we have circled on our schedule. Okay. So you look at the 2025 schedule, lots of really good home matchups for you guys, obviously at Southeastern to open the season. First conference matchup is against New Mexico State at home. An old CUSA foe of the past, Southern Miss, coming into Ruston, which that was absolutely a huge in-conference rivalry back when Southern Miss was in the league. And so I'm expecting some fans out there for that one. And that's easy to travel to for Golden Eagles fans as well. So then home against WKU, home against Sam Houston, home against Liberty. Those really stick out to me because those were some top finishers in Conference USA last year. So tell me a little bit about what you are looking at in the schedule, any games that you have circled upcoming in the season or any that we should watch out for.
Yeah, like you mentioned, obviously that Sam Houston game, you're not only just for the opportunity of the environment, but I think just frankly for Louisiana Tech, I think it's definitely a revenge game. You know, obviously Sam Houston has gotten Louisiana Tech's number, you know, his first 2 years in Conference USA, and obviously the Bulldogs feel like they have something to prove this year. And I think it's kind of nice to build that little rivalry, obviously, for the Bulldogs. And certainly getting them at home, you know, certainly on a Halloween night, kind of a fun atmosphere for your fan base, I think is certainly one to look out for. And so, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. And obviously, Sam Houston coming off a really great season. So, like you mentioned, I would definitely expect them to be in the Conference USA race as well. But, you know, I'm looking at their first six games. And, you know, I was talking to some officials at Louisiana Tech fall camp, you know, the other day. And, you know, on paper, you look at Louisiana Tech's, you know, early schedule, and I think it definitely sets Louisiana Tech up for success. Again, like you mentioned, I would expect them to start the season with a pretty solid win over Southeastern at home. And then obviously you go on the road to LSU, and then you come back home against New Mexico State and Southern Miss, two teams that I feel like Louisiana Tech has a really great shot of winning. And then you go on the road to UTEP, you know, obviously a program that's still building under Scotty Walden, but, you know, this is a team that in Sonny Cumbie's 3 years, you know, Louisiana Tech is 3-0 against. So I feel like there's an opportunity to continue to build momentum there. And then obviously Kennesaw State, you know, they had their struggles coming into Conference USA last year, who obviously Louisiana Tech beat 33-0 in the finale. So, I mean, you look at those first six games and, you know, I haven't put out my official predictions yet, but there's certainly a world where Louisiana Tech starts the season with 4 to 5 wins. You know, I certainly can see that as a possibility. So I definitely feel like the early part of the schedule definitely sets up well for the Bulldogs. I think, like we talked about in kind of that first answer about, you know, describe last season, I think that it mirrors so much with last season. Of you look at the early portion of their schedule and you're thinking, man, if we can pick up, you know, some big wins here early on and kind of set ourselves up for success, I feel like we're going to be sitting pretty. Obviously that did not happen and they had to kind of fill in on the back end. And so I think if you're Louisiana Tech, you look at the schedule, like you mentioned, before Western comes to town, before Sam Houston, before you host Liberty, and frankly, before you go on the road to Washington State and Delaware in back-to-back weeks, like the schedule is going to get tougher in the middle of October and November. So I feel like in early September and early October, I feel like it's really important for the Bulldogs to take care of business. And like you mentioned, against home in home games and in home environments where you should have the advantage and your home crowd is going to be behind you. And so I definitely feel like the Bulldogs schedule, it certainly fits well. And I think they have an opportunity. Again, you have not been able to play Liberty at home, you know, since they've joined the league. So I definitely feel like that environment is going to benefit you. Obviously, it's going to be a tough matchup. And so I certainly feel like the more wins that they can pick up on the front end, I think it's going to set them up for success as we get into late October and November when the conference race is solidifying at that point.
And I mean, good, like, I don't know. I shouldn't say good luck, but because I think it's going to be an easy job for the La Tech ticket salespeople to sell this home slate to the season ticket holders, or potential season ticket holders. Because, yeah, I mean, that's an incredible home slate when you look down the schedule. And I think just looking, you know, top to bottom here, like, there's no perfect schedule in football, but this is like an awesome schedule because you have your FCS game, you have your P4 game. Both of those are in-state foes, which I know enough about the landscape of Louisiana football to know that all three of these teams, like, no one is looking past the other, right? Like, I know La Tech's not looking past Southeastern. I know LSU's not looking past La Tech. And I know so many of these guys have played high school ball together. Like, there's a lot of just one, you know, 1v1 kind of rivalries in these games, you know, between some of the guys. And then, yeah, you get an early conference test with New Mexico State, you know, an old conference foe with Southern Miss. You get three of the top teams in the league at home. You get to go to three of the newest members on the road, a fun trip at Washington State. And I'm just like, man, like, I look at that and I was like, if I was their SID, like, that'd be fun. It's just a fun schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Definitely. I'm sure I hadn't sat down and really analyzed the schedule until recently getting prepped for this interview, but it's a good one. It's a good one.
It kind of has all the makings of like what you really want, a team in our league to have, on the schedule. So,
and I know, you know, Sonny Cumbie, going into what is it, his fourth year, fifth year now with the program? Fourth year. So, going into his fourth year with the program, I'm sure that he is really looking to finally break the ceiling and get to that top half of the league, finishing in the top half of the league, making bowl games, you know, with six wins on the season,
right,
at least, making those bowl games, kind of returning to the Louisiana Tech of old, if you will, where they were making bowl games season after season after season. Is Coach Cumbie talking about any of that at all with the program? Is he talking about making sure these guys get to that bowl eligibility at the end of the season? What is his mentality like when he talks either to the media or what you've seen of him talking to the team?
Yeah, he certainly hasn't said that, you know, it's bowl game or bust. But I think when you read between the lines, he knows that it's time to win. Like you mentioned, entering year four in a program, I don't care what level in college football it is. You've had enough time to build your infrastructure. You've had enough time to build your coaching staff and your roster. And he recognizes that. Obviously, like you mentioned, this is a program that coming off the Skip Holtz era had a lot of postseason success. And I think, frankly, when Tech fans look back at that time, I think they're even more grateful for what Skip Holtz provided. And I think just the consistency of, you know, we're going to go to bowl game every single year, it felt like. And I think under Sonny Cumbie, again, there has not been one, you know, specific issue or problem that has led, I think, to kind of the downturn of these losing seasons. I know obviously they made a bowl game last year, but you still finish with a losing record at the end of the day. So he certainly knows that it's time to win. And I think you can certainly feel that from him when you talk to him, and even the players as well. You know, we talked to Landon Nelson, to start fall camp. I mean, this is a guy that's been in this program 5 years. He's going into his final year in college football. And you know, obviously they made the bowl game last year, but like, he has not had a bowl win at Louisiana Tech. And so I definitely feel like for guys like Landon, for guys like Cedric, for, you know, even for Sonny Cumbie, like, they want to get this program back. And I think they recognize that it's going to take a group effort. It's going to take everyone pulling in the same direction. Obviously, like we've talked about throughout this podcast, there are a lot of new coordinators. There are a lot of new positions that need to be filled in. But if everything lines up for this group, like we just talked about with the schedule, it plays favorably, and this group can make a bowl game. This group can have a winning season. And I think this fan base and I think this coaching staff recognizes that it's time to do that. I think entering year four, again, you don't want to say there's pressure, but at the same time, like when you're coming off, it's such a historic run. I think it would be unwise to expect your fan base to kind of continue to hold out hope, you know, much longer. And so I definitely feel like with Evan coming back as a returning starter, I think with Tony Franklin's experience, I think Luke Olson, you know, obviously the new defensive coordinator coming off a championship with Jacksonville State, there's reason to be optimistic. And I certainly feel like if the Bulldogs can put it all together, this group, we're going to look back, you know, at the end of the season, this group can finish with 7 to 8 wins. I think it's just going to take a lot of ifs coming together, but they certainly can do it. And like you mentioned, I think Sonny Cumbie definitely recognizes that. I think that's why he made the bold moves that he did in this offseason to go bring back Tony, you know, to see if he can revitalize this offensive system. So I'm definitely excited to see how it all plans out, because I definitely feel like we mentioned, the five losses last year, they were so close. It just feels like this program is on the edge of getting to that point. I think obviously this is the year to see if this is truly going to like you mentioned, to, you know, get over the hump and obviously turn the tide and get back to winning seasons.
Well, lots of expectation for this Bulldog team this year.
For sure. But I don't think you could have tied a better bow on it there with that response.
Yeah.
So we're ready to go. I mean, it's just under 4 weeks until they kick off against Southeastern.
It's crazy.
So 26 days.
Yeah.
Countdown is on.
Wild. Well, Matt, I want to give you some time to tell the fans where they can follow along. You mentioned that you are doing like maybe a season prediction, going game by game, kind of figuring out where you think some wins and losses are going to be. So tell the fans where they can find you on social media or give the Ruston Leader a shout out. Just tell us where they can tell them where you. Wow, I can't talk. Tell them where they can find you. And then also, if you wouldn't mind, tell us a little bit about how you got started. You said this is your fourth football season covering the program. I always love to hear how beat writers and people who talk about one program specifically kind of got their start.
Yeah, so obviously, I'll start with that first question. Obviously, you can follow all of our work and I think my fall camp coverage at RustinDailyLeader.com. We're going to be posting, fall camp stories and obviously interviews and things like that throughout the rest of this fall and obviously this season. You can also follow just my live tweet updates and just kind of general thoughts on Twitter/X. I'm not really sure what to call it anymore, but I still call it Twitter. So
neither are we.
Yeah, we'll go with that, I guess, for now. So you can just follow my live tweets on there at Balance and Matt. I'm going to be posting there throughout today. And then, our Ruston Daily Leader YouTube channel. Like I mentioned, my predictions video, we do this past couple seasons. I've done this Louisiana Tech post-game video recap. It's just about 10 minutes. I just kind of go through, whatever that week's game was and just kind of give my thoughts and then analyze the game. And that's on the Ruston Daily Leader YouTube channel. We're going to be posting some fall camp, stuff here in the next couple weeks. And then I will be making my season prediction video on there as well here before August 30th and the season kicks off. So you can follow on there as well. And then, obviously my individual journey here, like you mentioned, this is my fourth season covering Louisiana Tech football. And I'm not originally from Louisiana. I'm actually from Illinois. And I went to college at Iowa State University. So I've kind of been all over the place. And then I graduated college in May of 22, and then was just looking for a job out of college, and was able to come down here to Ruston, and was able to cover the Bulldogs, thankfully, for the past couple seasons, and get the opportunity to cover Sonny Cumbie in this program, and obviously all its athletic programs, and just be able to see kind of the Ruston community rally around the Bulldogs. And I'll just be excited, I think, whenever it's time for football season. I'm someone that grew up around sports. My dad and I were huge Bears fans. And so, football season has usually been disappointing for us on the professional side. But
I wasn't going to say anything, but
yeah, it doesn't really need to be said. It's just kind of, it's one of those things that's baked in. But, we're excited this year with Caleb in year two. So maybe, things will look up. But obviously I've loved sports. I played high school baseball. Like, it's just always kind of been part of my DNA. And so I definitely just wanted the opportunity, I think, to just be around sports. I think when I recognized that I was not the athletic specimen to go on and play college sports, I think I was like, well, I think the only way to do that is to write about them and to cover them. And I always liked writing in English. And so definitely felt that the journalism route was the best route to take. And so I've been blessed and have been given a lot of opportunities. And so I'm looking forward to what this fourth football season has here in Ruston, because like we mentioned, I think it has the potential to be a really good one. So I'm excited for it.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for telling. I love hearing stories. Like, that's so funny. Would I have ever guessed that you were from Illinois? No, I wouldn't.
Well, I'm sure Ruston is very different from Chicago or Ames, Iowa. But like you mentioned, an incredible community. I think just for all of us that have been there before for championships or just whatever it may be, it is an awesome community, an awesome place to be, and excited to see them rally around the Dogs this fall and hopefully get on their way to a bowl game appearance, too.
We'll see. I'm ready and getting excited for it. So like we said, August 30th. Against Southeastern, things get underway, so we'll be looking forward to that. And Matt, I know that it is not cool there in August in Ruston, Louisiana.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it is very hot and very humid. So try your best to stay cool out there at camp. Good luck the rest of the way. And who knows? We might talk to you later this season. Maybe the Bulldogs make a conference championship berth. I have no idea. Yeah. You never know. So stick around. We'll keep your number handy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Happy to jump back on.
All right, everyone, stick around for my interview from CUSA Media Days with offensive lineman Landon Nelson, defensive back Cedric Woods, and head coach Sonny Cumbie. All right, Conference USA fans, welcome back to another segment here on CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. We're joined here by the Louisiana Tech Bulldog faithful. Welcome to the show, guys. Thank you for joining us. We've got head coach Sonny Cumbie here, Landon Nelson, and Cedric Woods. Guys, thanks for joining the show.
Yep, thanks for having us on. I ain't glad to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Your first station here at the CUSA football kickoff. I told you I would keep it easy. So let's start off with a pretty simple question. Obviously, we're about to start camp. 2025 season is upon us. What are you guys talking about in the coaching rooms and in the locker room right now looking toward this season?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to throw it to these guys first, and right. I'm interested to hear what the locker room's looking forward to.
There you go. Put you on the spot.
I feel like, you know, as far as the locker room goes, everybody's excited about camp. But, you know, as you know, everybody has the same thing. You know, first day of camp, everybody's excited. And so I think is, you know, we trying to just maintain that excitement all the way through our camp, you know what I'm saying, from practice one to practice 15. So that's our mentality.
Yeah, I would say a lot of team building as far as growing and getting closer to each other going on right now. You know, we've been hanging out outside of football a lot more this summer. You know, just growing as a more as a family rather than necessarily a team right now. It's kind of our big plan leading the camp.
I think from a coaching staff standpoint, there's always a lot of excitement because I think football from a coaching staff standpoint is very cyclical. And so you go through the season, and I'm sure the players feel the same thing. The season's very long, and so and it's very fun, and there's a lot of challenges. And then as you get towards the end of the season, man, you start getting worn down a little bit, and you look for, the next cycle is your off season. And then you get tired of off season, and then the next cycle is spring practice. And then you get tired of spring practice, and it's over. And then the next cycle is summer conditioning. And then we're all tired of summer conditioning. I know they are. They're the ones out there doing it physically. And so now we're excited about the transition to the season. And I think that's really like a very consistent element that goes through in terms of a coaching staff within our conversations as a staff. But I think the thing that is really separating for us as coaches is the joy with our team and the joy with our players. And this particular group, I think, is a lot of fun to be around. They're a lot of fun to coach. They take football very seriously. And I think that they've done a phenomenal job of getting to know each other. And I think the chemistry and camaraderie is really what separate all of the teams within the conferences across the country. There's a great level of talent in our locker room. But I think what is most exciting for us as coaches is we have seen a lot of work. I talk about it to our kids is as you look out the window of our offices and you see a new building being built and you see new turf being laid and you see the visual the progress of those things happening. Well, what I'm excited about is I've seen the progress that our kids and our players and our team have made, yes, from a schematic standpoint, but also from a chemistry and camaraderie standpoint. And so just very excited to be able to be a part of that on a daily basis and to really unleash that this fall from a football standpoint.
You talk about that camaraderie, which is so important, especially in this stage an age of college football where the transfer portal is obviously it's there. It's happening. Several teams in Conference USA have 50 plus student athletes that are new to their rosters this year. So from a camaraderie perspective, it's great to hear that, you know, things are going well in the locker room. But from a on the field perspective as well, is there anything new that we can expect from Louisiana Tech this year? Some new members of the coaching staff as well that may bring in some new things. Is the brand of Louisiana Tech football going to look the same as it did last year, or can we expect some new items out there?
Well, I think you'll expect a lot of new items. And I think the scheme, you know, obviously with Coach Franklin, Tony Franklin has been highly successful as an offensive coordinator coming in and offensively we're so much further along right now than we have been at any point during the previous three seasons. I think Coach Luke Olson and the new defensive staff that came in have done a really nice job of implementing their system, which is similar from a structure standpoint, but I think there's going to be some things that will allow guys like said to be a little bit more aggressive in coverage and then up front. And we'll do some different things from a blitz package. And so special teams wise, Coach Sharp has been there. We've worked together for 11 years and we've worked together for 7 years at TCU. So that's seven frog years. So those are long years. And then now we got four dog years. And so 11 of them total. And he does a phenomenal job on special teams. We've been one of the top teams in the country and in Conference USA the last 3 years. And so I think in terms of how we play the game, how our young men play the game, you'll still see how hard they play, how physical we play, how tough we play. But I think there's definitely going to be some differences from a schematic standpoint.
I don't think they liked your joke.
Sent on.
No, they were good.
They're like, they're laughing. I love that. It's pretty good. From a player perspective, what is it like to be able to put those new schematics and stuff in play from your side? You mentioned, you know, you might get to see a bunch of different kind of action this year. So for you guys, what's it like?
Well, on the defensive side of the ball, the scheme is pretty similar, being that it's a three high safety look. And, you know, the major difference between, you know, this year and last year is with the scheme is more man focused. So, you know, we're going to have a lot more bodies on bodies. It's going to be a lot more tight throws for the quarterback, you know, make those window throws. And we just want to be more aggressive. We want to create turnovers on defense. You know, we want to score points on defense. And, you know, we want to create negative plays. And, you know, we just going to fly around and have fun. You know, that's our big thing over there on defense. And, you know, we just a really close group on defense. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's really just going to – we just going to reload that thing from last year. I love those guys on defense, and we're really excited for this season.
Awesome. All right, Landon, your turn.
I would say it took a lot of the monotony out of the offseason, learning a new scheme and new offense getting installed. You know, throughout summer workouts and spring ball, we were learning something new. And, I mean, each day y'all talks with Coach Franklin about new things that we're trying to do. And it's just a constant learning curve with the new offense. And I think it's been great. I think we're going to be really good at it. And I'm excited. I think, like I said, it made the offseason, you know, a little more enjoyable for someone who loves football. I like to learn all these different things, you know, look at things a little differently than what we've done in the past and move forward and take it from there.
Awesome. Well, I'll ask you I have a feeling I know Coach Cummings answered this question, but is there a game on the calendar, on your schedule that circled? I know you're going to say week one because you always just look at the next game up, right? Is that's going to be your answer? Is there one that you kind of are looking at? I think you guys play on Halloween this year. That's going to be fun. Yeah. Anything that you guys are looking forward to?
Yeah, I think you probably maybe get the same answer from all the coaches. So, yeah,
well, you're speaking all right.
Every one of them. And you know, I think in particular, I always, you know, the first game, there's so much excitement because there is a little bit of unknown in terms of, you know, your team and watching how guys play and seeing how they react in that environment. And I think in particular, all of our conference games, just really looking forward to those because I think that this is a team, I think, that's learned a lot, you know, over the course of the last couple of years from the experiences we've had within the league. And so I'm looking forward to our in-conference games.
What about you guys?
I would say definitely conference games. You know, I think we've had a few stolen from us, kind of giving them away the past couple of years. So I think we owe quite a few teams in this conference one this year. So,
all right. It's been spoken. Anything for you, Cedric?
Sam Houston.
Yep. That's that Halloween game.
That's the Halloween game.
All right. Fun stuff. That's a nationally televised game, too. It'll be a good one.
Yes.
Awesome. So as we kind of look at, you know, obviously we talked about new roster makeup, but you guys have a lot of key returners this year, too, that I think a lot of people out there are talking about. Tell me a little bit about, like, quarterback Evan Bullock's back. What are we looking at with that?
You know, again, that's part of the excitement for this football team this year is you got 60% of your rosters coming back. And I think these two guys really spearhead that. I think a guy like Seb Woods, who's going on his sixth year, and I think is one of the best corners in college football, and not just at our conference. I think from a skill set standpoint, from a progression standpoint, year after year has gotten better and better. And hopefully we'll be able to unleash him a little bit on special teams. He's so valuable to us on defense that we haven't been able to do that, but I think he's probably our best punt return. And so, you know, that's what's exciting. You know, Landon Nelson, again, guy's going on a six-year college, his fourth year with us, and has just done a phenomenal job of getting better and better, anchoring our offensive line. I think the development that he's taken upon himself as a player and I think is really a coach on the field. And so that's what is exciting is these two guys. It starts with them here. And then, you know, you talked about Evan. I think the progression he's made as a quarterback through last season and through the summer, we talk a lot. He's finally got out of his high school body. He looks like a college quarterback now. He's 220 pounds. He's running really well. He's throwing the ball well. And so got a lot of new weapons and some returning weapons around him. I think up front, offensive line and running back, you know, on offense, I think we'll be starting the season, the strength of our deep offense. And then, you know, I think when you look on defense too, you see Colby Fields, the preseason player of the year. And it's a great award. You know, I think all of us are seeking, you know, wins and things postseason, you know, versus preseason, but it's a great recognition of what he's done and what will happen. And then, you know, the linebackers, Chief Leota, number 42 for us, is coming back. And, you know, you've got Sid on one side, and then, you know, you've got a corner room that has a lot of competition. And then you've got two of our three starting safeties that are returning for their third year in our program. And the other starting safety is coming back for a second season. And so there's a lot of things to be excited about from a roster standpoint. And these guys get to be around them every day. But I think from a coaching staff standpoint, that's what we're looking forward to.
Yeah. You talk very highly of these two gentlemen sitting next to you. I love to ask this question to our student athletes who are on the show to kind of show a little bit more about them on the character and the personal side. But I would be curious to know what you guys are studying in school right now. What are you getting your degrees in, and what are your career aspirations for later after you're done with football?
So for me, I graduated with my bachelor's in marketing in 2024. And since then, I've been pursuing my master's in marketing as well. And as far as my career aspirations after football is over, lately, I've really been leaning towards possibly getting into coaching. Recently, that's kind of like my role on the team. I'm an extension of the coaching staff, being the position that I'm in. So, I'm doing more coaching than I'm playing sometimes, so I got to, pass that on to the younger guys. So, I feel like I got so much to give back to the game. So, that's kind of what's been, going through my mind lately.
Great.
Yeah. So I got my undergrad in business management. I graduated last November, and since then I've been working on my MBA. I'm just pretty much halfway through right now. And as far as after football goes, I don't know if there's ever going to be an after football. I think I'm going to be sticking around this game for quite a while, whether it's coaching or, somewhere within it. I don't think I'm ever going to be able to really say goodbye to it, but that's really my plan so far.
You got two guys right there that are ball players. Yes. They not just on the field, in the mind too, which is always nice to have. All right, I think I have time for maybe two more questions here. So as you look forward to this year playing football there, you mentioned you've got a lot of new stuff going up around the stadium. What can you say to your fan base about what's going to be exciting for you guys this year, what they can look forward to being in the stadium there in Ruston?
Well, I think that it starts with the players, and you have talented players who are hungry to win, who've done a lot and have grown a lot and gone through a lot and are looking forward to playing winning football. I think it starts with those guys. And so that's what's exciting. And again, I said this locally, if every single day in the summer, it's about 150 degrees in Ruston. The humidity is about, I guess can't be any more than 100%, I guess, but it's probably 100%.
It's close.
The guys work out in the morning, and everybody's working out and working hard. I understand that, but like they work out in the morning, 7, 8, 9 on lifting, and they come back in the afternoon and they run it at 2 o'clock in the middle of the heat. Whenever we were on the turf, it was probably 200 degrees inside the stadium. And then we're outside on the grass now because we're getting new turf, which is exciting. But like our kids don't blink. Like that's the thing that I would share with our fan base is our kids don't blink when it comes to work. Our kids don't blink when it comes to, they focus on what they have. They focus on, what is the excitement of the progress that's being built around the stadium, but they focus on being really good football players, and they're going to prove that this fall. And I think that's what's exciting is you have talent. You have a group that's determined. And you have a group, I think, that it means a lot to play winning football together and to prove that we can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. I have one final question for you. It's my favorite question to ask all of our guests here on CUSA Insider. We call this segment CUSA Eats. Obviously, Homeless USA spans many states across the country. And so if a guy from Lynchburg, Virginia is coming down to Ruston, he needs to know where to go to eat. So tell me a couple of spots. We can go grab a good bite and maybe what I should get there.
Man, I got a couple for you.
Okay, come on.
I got a couple for you. So if you're in the city of Ruston, it really depends on your budget. So you got Flying Burger. That's right down the road from the stadium. They got seafood burgers, the best French fries in town. Okay. You got them. Then you got Log Cabin. You go up there, get you some grilled salmon. You know what I'm saying? Some grilled pork chops. They got a wide variety. They got some Tex-Mex for you. Okay. They got everything you need. Then if you take a little trip down to Farmerville, they got Red Tails and Shell. Mr. Red always takes good care of them. If you get down there during crawfish season, I'm talking about the best crawfish you done had. I'm talking about, they got fried kid, fried fish, oyster. They got your little ribeye down there. It's right on the lake. It's a nice little view. Take you and your lady down there. Y'all have a great time.
He's painting a whole scene for us. I love it.
Who else? Who else?
He's speaking
to us. He is a foodie.
Yeah. I am a foodie. They got sushi roll in town now. So you want your little hibachi, little sushi. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, we talked about right before we got on here that you might want to have like a podcast someday. I don't know if you were thinking sports, but you might want to start thinking about food because you can talk about the food. You make me hungry. Yeah.
But that's just the name of few. That's just the name of few.
All right.
I've got a couple.
I mean, I would say I got one. It's probably Bovine's. It's our little steakhouse in town.
Yeah.
Go down there and get a good ribeye. That's probably my favorite place in town to eat.
Better have some Leonard though going to Bovine.
That ain't no dollar.
I make Sid take me.
You look it up, it's got the $3 bills next to it.
Yeah, Google.
All right, Coach Chubby, you got one?
Yeah. You have to throw in the fake Ponchatoulas because that's kind of like the local. Like if you want to get North Louisiana kind of food, Ponchatoulas is definitely, I think, the catfish sampler, I think, is the go-to there. So you want to make sure if you get it for lunch that you've got about 2 or 3 hours afterwards where you're not doing anything.
It'll put you in a food coma.
Or, yeah, you definitely don't want to go to a workout after a catfish sampler because they put crawfish on top of it and, like, the etouffee and rice. And so it's really good.
All right. It's getting too close to lunchtime right here. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. Looking forward to seeing what the Bulldogs can do in 2025. Coach Cumby, Landon, Cedric, thank you guys for being on the show today. Have a fun rest of your day.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you to everyone down there in Ruston for joining us for the program. Exciting stuff going on down there in Ruston, Louisiana. We are getting ready for a jam-packed football season with the Bulldogs. We talked about it at length with Matt. They do have a pretty good season schedule setting up for, I don't know, there's going to be some wins on this schedule this year. And I think that there might be some surprises, too, with year two of getting Evan Bullock more reps this year, a lot more experience under his belt. There's going to be some good stuff out of the Bulldogs this year, I think.
Yeah, and I think a couple of the schools we've already talked to, you know, FIU being another one that, you know, I look back on Sam Houston in 2023. They had all those games. There were one possession losses that got away from them. They were the best 3-9 team in the country.
Yeah.
I say that half jokingly, but like then they turned around and won 10 games the next year because they kind of put the pieces back together, kind of filled some of the holes. And so, yeah, I look at FIU and La Tech as being two of those teams that really kind of, you know, that lick their wounds a little bit and then turn the page to this year and put some wins on schedule, get to a bowl game.
Yeah, there's a lot of momentum with both of those programs that could be capitalized on this season for sure. If you get all the right pieces in the right places. And Matt mentioned it, lots of holes to fill in the defense, but on the offensive side, one of the names that stuck out to me too was Eli Finley. I think that he's going to be a huge piece in that offense this year. So we'll see where things go by the end of the season. Like you mentioned, I mean, they've got the two newcomers in the league with Delaware and Missouri State, and then they've got Kennesaw State, who was just a newcomer last year. So lots of fun stuff happening there for Louisiana Tech. So we've got two more interviews this week, though, don't we?
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. It is absolutely crazy. So we put Missouri State out on Monday. We got Louisiana Tech today. We got New Mexico State on Friday. So we're talking about another program that is maybe licking its wounds a little bit from last year. Tough stuff. First year under Tony Sanchez, but really looking to get things started on the right foot with a quarterback who they know starting at the beginning of the season. Although I'm sure there's still some competition like we talked about before. But we'll see what Tony Sanchez can do in year two with that program. We'll be talking to Adam Young, who is their play-by-play guy, TV man extraordinaire there for the Aggies. So excited to get to talk to him again this year. And then we've got a full jam-packed week of interviews next week, too. I think we're going to be talking to Delaware, Liberty. Dane, remind me who else we're talking to on Friday. UTEP. That's right. Yeah. So three interviews next week.
Yeah.
It's going to be really crazy.
All over the place, too. So you got high school. You've got, you know, a perennial, you know, contender in the conference that's looking to, you know, kind of bounce back. I mean, they still won 8 games last year, but we kind of know what their bar is. And then UTEP, another school that, like New Mexico State, it's funny how, you know, they're both kind of in the same boat as rivals that, you know, they're both in year two under a new head coach. Both had, you know, kind of subpar years, we'll say, last year. So looking to kind of fill some pieces. Both of them have their quarterback, more or less. I think UTEP, we kind of know. They're still, again, they're one of those ones that there's a competition, but, you know, we think we know who it is. And then New Mexico State's been pretty confident in Logan Fife. Man, they brought him to Media Day. That's kind of the ultimate, you know, pledge of approval,
Sure.
Right there. But, you know, so we'll see if, yeah, having that piece locked down this year as opposed to last year where they didn't know their quarterback until, you know, they were kind of rotating guys throughout the year, really. So if you have that, can you get the rest of the guys around him to win some games and get that? You know, they were kind of the opposite of what I was just talking about with a school that goes from, you know, kind of a down year to a breakout year. They had, you know, a breakout year in 23 with Jerry Kill.
Right.
Kind of took a step back, but it's like, hey, can they get back there? Because we know what New Mexico State can do, but it's just a matter of execution.
And they've got a tough competition in their first conference game of the season with Louisiana Tech, who we just got to talk at length about. So if you want to see all of the interviews that we are talking about in the next couple of weeks, make sure that you are following us on social media at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. You can find our episodes on YouTube if you find Conference USA's not Facebook page, YouTube page. You can find our entire podcast there. Watch the episodes. But if you are an audio only listener, one of our OGs, we are still releasing all of these podcast episodes on audio platforms as well. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. And if you have any questions that you want us to be asking our guests over the next couple of weeks, I've been forgetting to plug this, but we have an email address that you can find us at CUSAinsider@conferenceusa.com. I check that myself. So send us some questions if you want us to ask some. Comment on our YouTube page down in our past interviews. Let us know if you want to ask some questions coming up, and maybe we'll do a little fan segment. But that is it for us today. Thank you so much for listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, signing off.